Loretta, hi.
Hi.
You're soon leaving to States, to California, correct?
Yes, that's right.
What is the occasion?
Well, I've been invited to come and speak about Mother and Sri Aurobindo in several places in Northern California and in Southern California.
Behind that is, who organized it? Is a one person or institute or...
There is one place that's organized a conference that America has once a year, a conference. They call it the OM Conference, A-U-M, and it's organized in different parts of the country by different people each time. And this time it's being given at the Sri Aurobindo Sadhana Pitam in Lodi, California. That's a couple hours outside San Francisco. And that's a long-established Sri Aurobindo Center, and it's quite large. And so they've organized it. And this year, it's very specifically on Mother and Sri Aurobindo's teachings. At different times, they have it on different subjects. But this year, the title of it is The New World.
How many speeches?
Actually, I'm in the 7 weeks I'll be there, I'm giving eight different talks, although some of them are the same talk in different places. I had this five-lecture series going on in Savitri Bhavan during my exhibition in February and March, and out of those five lectures, I'm actually giving four of them in California. In the OM conference, I'm opening with the talk on the supramental ship, which was the first talk that I started with here in Savitri Bhavan. And that's Mother's experience that she has and then has someone write down and then reads out to the ashram about seeing the most material supramental coming into the most material physical. And that happens in 1958. And so I started my talks with that, and I went on until the end, and picked up on Mother's, what seemed to be, to me anyway, Mother's major experiences. And so the last talk I'm giving in Lodi, in the SASP, is the last of the five, and it's on the new being that manifests in 1969. On the 1st of January 1969, a new being manifests, and Mother realizes eventually that it is the personality that will manifest in the new being, the Superman, that man is the next step that man is going before the supramental being. And my research is seemed to show that it pretty well carried the process through into the supramental body, when, of course, one cannot say.
Yeah, but since then it's like more than 50 years, yeah?
Since yes.
Since you had a major experience.
Yes.
Do you have a feeling that maybe some of that, what she saw, or she was sure that's going to happen, it's already happening now?
Oh, well, there's no question about that. There's no question about that. One of the things that's really obvious to me, and I think would be to everyone in Oroville if they just knew the fact, is that this new being at one point comes to the mother, and she calls it a personality, and she calls it a being, and it's in any case a fully formed, capable consciousness that she says teaches her and guides her and gives her advice, and eventually she actually leaves a lot of her kind of daily work on the inner planes to this consciousness that has now manifested. But in any case, it comes to her it's a couple months into after having come, and it wants her to write something down. He tells her she has to write something down, and she says in the recording that Satprem made in her room, she says that he wouldn't leave until she wrote this down. And what she wrote down was the words, "We will try to make Oroville the cradle of the Superman. And I think most people have heard that quotation on and off, of course, over the years. And then she says to the being, she says, "What do you mean, we?" And he says, "We're going to get the Aurovillians to cooperate." And the thing about this being that she discovers is that it's very no-nonsense. It's either it's yes or it's no. Fish or cut bait. Either you do it or you don't. And I think that's the pressure that we all feel here in Oregon. Everybody talks about that. The difficulty in living here. I mean, people come from outside, they think we're living in a paradise. It's very beautiful and, you know, everything seems easy. And of course, the material life is not particularly easy because it's a tropical country and it's an underdeveloped country. But it's more than that. Most people feel a strong pressure. And I believe that is the operation of this being as he's going on, kind of making us move faster and move farther and pushing us.
Somehow it hurts, not because of climate, of other things. But yet, on the other hand, I see so many people, like yesterday I had an opportunity to see the outburst of egos.
The what?
Really the vital part of somebody, nothing...
Outburst, you saw somebody's outburst of ego, that's what you said. Yeah.
And actually you can see it even with some really old Aurovillians.
Yeah, me too, I see it.
So how you explain that?
I think it's a result of the pressure. It's tough.
So you cannot handle it anymore and it's come like that?
Yes, on that level you cannot handle it nicely. You can't elegantly and smoothly go through it because your own organized personality hasn't got to the point where it can deal with it. But I mean, I personally face it every minute. It's really strong, and I think it is purification of the emotional being and purification of the life energies, the energies that drive us and all of the God knows countless patterns that we all function with, these kind of frameworks that drive us and that everything that we do fits into, and all that it has to move on. I see people changing all the time. I see people growing all the time. I don't think I can say it in the sense of, well, 2 years ago Joe Smith did this action and today he's doing that action. It's more a sense that you get from their being, looking in their eyes, the whole everything about them. It's very clear. Oh, it's very easy to see. Just go out. I mean, there's no question, you know. Just go out and spend a little time with people out of Oroville and people who aren't committed to quick growth. I mean, I have friends, I'm going to see friends of mine when I go back to the States, and they just sat down, that's all. You know, they're not going anywhere. They don't care about that. They're moving in ever smaller circles, and as their bodies stiffen up with age, I mean, we're all getting on in years in my generation, they just let it go. Here, people don't do that. Here are people in their 70s, people in their 80s, they consciously keep themselves active. And that's part of the atmosphere that feeds us.
Originally do come from the States, yeah?
Yes, I do.
So that would be also social, visiting of your family, friends?
Not too much. No, I don't have much family left. And most of the family that I do have, all of my family over there, haven't got a clue about what I do.
Or how come?
They're not interested.
They never ask you what you do in your own way?
No.
Never?
No, not never. I went back in 1978 after 9.5 years in India and all these life-changing experiences. Nobody asked me a single question. They were all busy with their own lives. That's normal. That's what people do. They're interested in their subjects. And if your subject is not their subject, they're not interested.
No, that's not happening right here. No.
I have other friends whose families are like my family, and then I have other friends whose families are involved in Oroville. Mm. And they support them and they visit and they're interested. The world is full of both kinds of people, the ones that are really actively involved in their own progress and the ones that don't believe in it. And there's a lot of those out there.
True. What about this last thing, meditation, Mount Ojai?
Ojai. A meditation mount is a place that was started about the same year that Oroville was started, actually. And it was started for the purpose of spiritual growth. And it kind of stands there to support all kinds of spiritual growth. And I have a friend there who's on the board. And I said something about coming and wanting to give lectures as long as I was there. And he spoke with them, and then the man who runs the place contacted me. And he knew the ashram, Madhav Pandit, who was in the ashram and who talked all over America many years ago, spoke there in the past. And so they've invited me to speak, and then they added this very nice thing. I'm giving an informal talk on Oroville, mostly questions and answers. A couple of weeks ago, he emailed and he said, there's a great interest in Oroville in Ojai, and they don't know anything about it. Yeah. Ojai is a high desert valley above Santa Barbara. Ojai is a place among the mountains. Yeah. And it's Ojai does not mean high, like high up as far as direction is concerned. It's just that's its name. And it was the home of Krishnamurti. And there are many spiritual places that have their centers there. It's grown into quite a spiritual community. So I really look forward to being able to talk to them about Oroville.
How many people do come on these conferences in general?
But I don't know.
That's your first time?
No, I was at the Om conference last year. Mm. And I know there were more than 50, but exactly how many, I have no idea. But I mean, I'm speaking to like different size audiences. They've asked me to speak to the children in the Om conference about the new world. And one of the things I like about this organization and what they're doing is they have a whole program for children. And not only that, but they've always had a program for children going on in this particular center. And so they've got all kinds of organized activities for children. And so...
Actually, your first talk will be talk to the children.
Yeah, my first talk will be talk to the children, but I don't have to prepare for that. I'm just going to sit down and talk to the kids. That's fun and that's easy to do.
So you would talk about the new world at all?
The new world is what's happening today and you know, why it's here and what Mother and Sherbindo did to make it come and what these children see happening all around them. And I mean, it's nice to show them where they are.
These would be children of what? Less than 10?
I think it's a whole range. I think 4, 5, or 6, maybe up to, I don't know, teenage? I don't know.
Because there are generations that actually do come out really differently.
Yes, oh, no doubt. Yeah, there has been progress outside, too. There's no doubt of it.
You know, we can see it. Actually, even in the school boards, teachers do know that it's a really a range of children with different capacities coming out now.
Yes, yes. Yes, of course. And that you can see. You know, I'll tell you something that I always really love. From time to time, you see a new family coming and visiting Oroville with a small baby. Not old enough to walk or talk, but old enough to be alert. And you can see that that child is looking for something. You see it in the parents' arms, and the head is up, and the eyes are alert, and it's looking. You can tell that it's looking. And I go up and I talk to them, and they want to receive whatever it is that I carry. There's no question about it. And what I carry is just wanting the change and trying to work for the change and going through whatever I have to go through, and that and it does work. I mean, it's not a void or a vacuum. You do something and there is definitely some result. I don't know how to say what it is, but there is a result. And they notice it. These little ones, not even a year old.
Yeah, children notice it faster than we do.
Yeah, they do notice it faster than we do. That's true.
And you will conclude with a savitri.
I'm giving a savitri talk in two places.
Oh.
The last talk I give is in Meditation Mount. And that I put that talk together for people who don't know either anything at all or very much about Mother and Sri Aurobindo. So that talk is a kind of introduction. It's the story of savitri from the point of view that it's for our growth. And so I'm going to tell them what Mother and Sri Aurobindo came here for and what he wrote savitri for, which was to bring down the new consciousness. And tell it's like a bedtime story.
You can put it.
I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful tale. And it's like, and so you can tell this wonderful adventures and you can read it so the vibration comes out and then you can relate it to their lives. You know, it's a nice thing to do. I'm giving that talk in Meditation Mount and also at the California Institute for Integral Studies in San Francisco, because this, although it's a spiritual university, they're not focused on Mother and Sri Aurobindo's teachings. They have a much, much broader focus. And then the day after that, I'm going over to the Cultural Integration Fellowship, which is based on Mother and Sri Aurobindo, and I'm going to be giving a talk on how Mother experiences the psychic being becoming, or that it tells her, in a way, becoming the supramental being.
You said you were in Lodi last year in our own conference, yeah?
No, I was in Matagiri in New York at the Aum conference, but I've been in Lodi before.
Oh, so that Aum conference is in different places every year?
Yes, it's in different places every year.
But do people know anything about Sri Aurobindo and the Mother?
Yeah. Yes, they do. I mean, there's a group of people in America that go to all the conferences because they've either lived in the ashram in Oroville or they visited ashram in Oroville, and their lives are very much Mother and Sri Aurobindo. But they don't live here. Mm. And so that's their opportunity.
What about the others? Also, the others come?
Yeah, other people come.
I'm trying to follow the spiritual ways of doing things, and there are many of people who are supposed to know what's going on and trying to do maybe something similar as Mother was doing. How do you see this situation of so many, I don't know how to name it, spiritual movements?
Mm-hmm. So it's the same force. I mean, it's not like one spiritual teacher comes on the earth and all the other ones suddenly evaporate and disappear. There, every culture has its line, and it's many lines usually, and different kinds of teaching. And so that same tremendous new consciousness that's coming illuminates and takes forward every line of teaching. And but especially in this case, there are people now who simply recognize purely and only that this is happening, not that it's a part of any teaching, not even that it's a part of something that the Mother and Sri Aurobindo knew from the beginning and are making work, but just that it is. And so they're all doing it. They're all talking about it. They all want to share it. And I think that this force of consciousness itself is itself manifesting in different ways to bring itself to different other consciousnesses in people. So it can come up in any way. I mean, I don't think it's helpful to say, well, the only thing is the most pure source, which appears to be Mother and Sri Aurobindo. I would say if that's what one wants, that's you'll get more of it, because it's a more pure source and it will be expressed in so many more ways that you can understand it, because that's what they tried to do for almost 100 years, you know. But still, it's going on everywhere.
No, because I see some people who are getting confused, you know, when maybe that person or, you know, that kind of line comes up, and then they don't know really what to follow, which is right. Because they do assemble, you know, they do look alike somehow, but they also got different, so maybe to say material parts, how it's actually manifesting in a society, and maybe how it's connected with, to make it work, which is connected with material, really the physical point, which is like money. So which one is right?
I mean... You're sort of asking a person who's spent her whole life feeling so good with every touch of Mother and Sri Aurobindo. And so my answer has to be only from myself, that there is something there that is just such a taste of sweetness and such a peace and such a beauty and such a bliss and such a wideness and such an opening, that any touch of them helps good. You know, but then people are also have kind of different needs inside of them, and so they gravitate towards what they need, and it's difficult to go around and saying, no, you should follow Mother and Sri Aurobindo, because then everyone turns around and says it's a religion and we're against religion. And so actually I think probably the answer is that when somebody is open to hear what you have to say, then you say it. Okay. I think that's really the answer, because if they're not open, they can't hear it anyway.
Oh, I see some people who are trying to find what it would be right for them, and they do get lost on the way somehow, or they do become strict to maybe even to the point which is not good for them.
That's in their beings. And these are the things that they fight. If you can find the way to show them what to me is the greater value in what Mother and Sri Aurobindo have to offer, then you help them. But if someone is walking down the wrong path, there's not much you can do. There's a wonderful lines in Savitri where Savitri has come back after finding Satyavan, and she comes in the door, and there is the great sage Narad sitting with her mother and father, and she says, I have found this wonderful, my love, that I have chosen. And as the story goes on, Narad reveals that Satyavan is going to die in 1 year, and Savitri's mother gets really upset, and she says, this is wrong. Your heart has stooped to a misleading call. Choose once again. Death is the gardener of this wonder tree. And Savitri says, no, once my heart chose and chooses not again. And then the parents get in there with, because as any parent would do, you know, and said, and they complained to Narad, but you know, and Narad says, what help is prevision to the driven? And there you are. I mean, safe doors cry opening. It's such a beautiful way he's put it. Safe doors cry opening. It means here, here, I'm safe. But the doomed pass on. You know, there's nothing you can say. And then, of course, in Savitri, what Sri Aurobindo was going on to say is that alone she must conquer or alone must fall. And, you know, she is equal to the task and she will go on. And it may be for people that are really, really lost and you can't do anything, that prayer helps. But, I mean, we all make mistakes and we make them all the time. And we're all so unbelievably stupid. You know, and then the thing comes around and all of a sudden you can say, oh my God, you know, geez. And yeah, I mean, it is difficult with other people. I mean, you have to send them lots of love. And sometimes then a moment comes when there's an open moment and if you yourself are open, then the right thing comes through you and it reaches them. Because then the asking is asking to the answer and then the answer comes through.
So you're expecting to meet a lot of open people?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
So after the talks, it's there some time to discussions? You expect discussions?
I don't expect discussions and questions based on my experience here in Oroville. Most of the lectures that I'm giving, I'm also playing tapes of Mother's voice in French. And I'm reading it in English and then playing it in French. And the material is so powerful. I mean, I gave these five lectures and I'd finish the lecture and there'd be this absolute silence in the room for a very long time and then I'd very quietly say, does anyone have any questions? And nobody could speak. They're like, finished. I mean, I think there's also they're polaxed. They're like, they're not only filled, but it stuns them somehow. It's just too wonderful and too strong. And because I mean, especially if they're hearing Mother and Sri Aurobindo's words, and then they're hearing the Mother's voice, it's affecting them on all these subtle levels.
Yeah, it's fun. Any other thoughts for your road?
Well, until now, I've lived an extremely quiet life here. And I haven't been at all, although I did some acting on stage here in Oroville, which I love. Mostly I don't go out much. I have my own kind of thing. It's a very quiet, private life. And all of a sudden, starting last year, I really had this inner push to suddenly come as far out in the public as you can go. And so that's what I'm doing. And my background has fitted me for the work. All the elements that allow this work to manifest through me, I have. And so I think it's just another service that I can do, because that's all I want to do. And by that I mean, when you serve anything, whatever it is, its vibration, you open yourself to it, and its vibration comes into you.
You're just a tool.
You're just a tool, whatever you serve. And so if I'm serving the Mother and Sri Aurobindo and I'm serving their work, then it's a very comprehensive kind of integral way to receive more and more. So it kind of all goes together. So for this reason, service is what I want to do. And I mean, that just seems to be where I'm supposed to be now and what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm truly enjoying it. And so that's what I see. If anybody wants this to come, and Mother and Sri Binder want it to come, then I'm at the service of doing it.
Right. So, last 2 years, you were not giving talks?
The only public talks I was giving was to the children during my exhibitions in Savitri Bhavan. And that I've done for years, that I've encouraged as much as possible for teachers to bring their classes, because I have no trouble speaking to any age of child. And so I've always done that. But last year I had to go to America, some family things in the spring, and I was going to go to the Om conference just because I happened to be there. And I'm not a very good sitter and downer person. I'm an active person. And I got this sudden thing, I should give a talk. And so I did. And that was the first adult talk I gave. And then that worked so well that about 3 weeks later I gave a talk in New York City, and that worked even better. And then I came back and I was preparing the exhibition, and out of all my research, suddenly it was like, this should be talks. And so I gave all these talks. And then other people heard about it, and then I got this invitation, they're paying my way to go to the Om conference in Lodi. And then the other places found out that I was there, and then they asked me to come and speak. And so it's opened itself up.
And it's like a stone rolling down the mountain.
It seems like it. It seems like it. And then I was contacted by these people in South America that I actually met them a couple of years ago, and they have a Sri Aurobindo Center in Colombia, up in the mountains there, and they want me to come and give a workshop.
Sri Aurobindo Center in Colombia?
In Colombia, oh yes. South America is tremendously open to Mother and Sri Aurobindo. It's a phenomenon.
Well, South America is in general, it's spiritually completely different thing.
They're into Mother and Sri Aurobindo. Aryamani, who is from Brazil, spends 2-3 months every year traveling in Brazil only talking about Auroville and the Mother and Sri Aurobindo. And this is, they have the relics in Colombia. They actually came here, and I met them when they came here to bring Sri Aurobindo's relics to their center in Colombia.
From here?
From here, from the ashram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, and there seem to be a lot of centers, and there's a kind of deep opening in that country, which is truly wonderful. So I'm gonna go. I'm doing different lectures for them. I think it's just coming. Whatever I'm supposed to do just shows up, and then I work on it.
They can speak Spanish?
I actually do speak Spanish, as it happens. But not that kind of Spanish. I learned in high school, and I can carry on a conversation, but it's impossible to even listen to a lecture in Spanish. But you see, there are books translated in Spanish. And so I can base the talks on reading material that these people can read, and I can read in Spanish, and I can explain.
So your traveling to Colombia will be next?
I believe it's in November. There are two consecutive three-day weekends. And so they want to set it up there. And then while I'm there, I'm probably going to talk in Bogota. That's then the capital. And then Medellin, which is that they have a center, and Medellin is another city. And I think it's just going to open itself up. I think the more that I'm capable and ready to do it, the more need there is. And the more it will happen. But it's very much a part of my own progress, because that being is pushing to greater capacities and greater tolerances. I mean, I've been living like a hermit on one level here for so many years, and now there's this sudden huge public life. And so whatever is in my being that comes up has to be dealt with. And so it's all it's just an ongoing process of the whole manifestation.
Have a safe journey.
Thank you.
Thank you.